Father, we just thank you for the care and the nurture that you've created within them to give. And Father, we just so much appreciate the godly moms that have prayed and faithfully raised. And Lord, I just thank you. And Father, we just pray as we study tonight that we'll continue to just gain an insight and an understanding, and that God will just continue to find us faithful as we continue through this journey we call life. And God, we uplift it all to you in your Son's name. Amen. As we were talking this morning about the journey and playing it forward and having a faithful life to give back to the next generation, as Naomi did her faith, and basically through Ruth was able to see God do some amazing things and blessings in her life. And as we'll look at that tonight, turn your Bibles to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're going to start there, and then we're going to journey through a few chapters of Psalm tonight. Because what I want to do is, a lot of times what I like to do is I like to take the scriptures and I like to see a continuation of a thought or a heart thought or even a mindset. And so when we look at Psalm 16, it basically starts out the first five verses as a prayer of confidence. And so this prayer is one that David is, it says, my scriptures there said, Michtam of David. But as this prayer is given, and again, we know the Psalms were written to be sung, to be uttered, either in ascending to Jerusalem or descending from Jerusalem. And so a lot of the songs or a lot of these phrases have been put to music. And because they've been put to music, it was music that they sang, and it wasn't just words. They really, truly mean them. And so this prayer of confidence is where I want to start, because when we talked about having that life journey, and especially when we saw Naomi through her grief, still praising God, still acknowledging the Almighty, as was listed in the very beginning of the verses and the end of it. She ended, opened and closed with the Almighty. She knew God was in the midst of her struggles. And I want to tell you what, that's a game changer. When we realize that and we take that to heart, that God is in the midst of them. God doesn't just let us go through. God walks with us and at times carries us through. And so knowing that, it gives us the hope. It gives us what this isn't going to be forever. We know this is going to move on. And so through the scriptures that we're going to see tonight, the Psalms, we're going to see the prayer of confidence, and then we're going to see how that plays out in three or four different texts or three or four different passages. So in verse 1 of 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Have you heard me say many times that anybody can claim faith? Very few exercise that faith. And listen, if you really think about it, I've seen that more so in my life in the last 3 years than ever before. With the pandemic, with just people in the hospital, and just life. We have this God that we talk about. We have this God that we believe in and we live for. But when it came close to home, there was some panicking. There were some struggles. There were some individuals that didn't trust God. They had all the faith and they loved God, but the trust, this confident prayer starts out with the most key phrase in the confidence in God, trust. You have to trust him. And if we don't trust him, how do we trust God? We say we have faith in God. Exercising faith can only be done when you trust him. So how do we trust him? Well, one, he constantly tells us to remember. Remember back. Look back. See how I did it before. That'll give you confidence that I'll do it again. But I know I've used this illustration before about the tightrope. You know, you see a guy go across the Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow, and he comes back with a wheelbarrow. You believe, you got faith he can do it. Then he tells you to get in the wheelbarrow. That's trust. And every now and then, we got to get in God's whirlwind. We have to trust him as he carries us through things. And I want you to just really in your mind, between you and God and your heart, think through that concept. When was the last struggle you really had? When was the last thing that you really, it just really rocked your world? And did you trust him? And I don't think on the onset of a lot of those things, we don't. I know I don't at times. Because I'm so quick to judge or so quick to jump into a situation in my life that I forget about just staying out of it and trusting God for it. And I think that's a human thing. We all jump into it. We all try to fix it. We all try to do things in it. And we pray, and if our prayers aren't answered quick enough, we jump in sometimes, try to take over. That's just what we do. But this prayer of confidence starts, preserve me. Preserve me. God keep me. And when you think of preserving, aren't you just so eager to eat a jar when you open it up and there's mold all over the top of it? Aren't you ready to cook that up and eat it? And that's, to me, that's what God, don't let me mold. Don't let me fall. Don't let me get all the junk. Preserve me pure. Preserve me how I am. So when God preserves us, it's, I want to put my trust in you. My trust says, God, you are going to preserve me. You're going to protect me. I'm going to come through this okay because I'm going to trust in you. So that's a very important step. If you don't have that, you're done. You can't go any further. If you don't have that trust in the God, trust is exercised faith. So faith, knowing who he is, trusting him. And then he goes on and says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. And what he is explaining in verses 3 and 4, but to the saints, there's two group of people here, to the saints and to the ones who try to do it without God. They go to a different God. And you and I, as Christ followers, we bring different gods into the situation all the time. It's not that we worship another God, but when we don't take the true God and trust him, if we try to take over, then we become the God of the situation. Or if we get other people, other things involved, anything that we place in front of God becomes a small g God. And so we bring even our own thoughts, our own ways of doing it. We bring that small g into it. And we would never go worship another God, but yet we bring things in before the true God. And so he says to the saints in verse 3 that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Do you want to put a smile on God's face? Trust him. That's all he asks. He doesn't care how good you sing. He doesn't care how well I preach. He doesn't care about how well we do things to a point. He wants our best. But what he's saying, I just want you to trust me. If you just trust me, I am able to do what I want to do. I am able to do what I plan to do. If you just trust me, according to verse 3, to the excellence in whom is all my delight, to the saints that trust me, it delights God. And that's exciting to me, because I know in my life, I put a lot of frowns on my God's face. In fact, if there were tears in heaven, I'm sure I made him cry. I want to put a smile on his face. All I got to do is trust him. When life goes away, preserve me, God. I'm going to trust you. And when I do that, verse 3 kicks in as saints, and he is delighted. Verse 4 kicks in, but their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. So if you and I have the ability to love God, be a Christ follower, but yet bring other gods into situations, which I think we can and do, what's good to multiply? My joy? What's that verse say? Verse 4 says, what's going to multiply is my sorrows are going to multiply. It's no wonder we're years into having some of the sorrows and the joy not there, because we're not led trusting God to take care of the things in our life. and we're taking it on ourselves. We're trying to fix those things instead of taking them to prayer, taking them to God, and trusting Him. We try to take over. We try to control. And as we do that, we're actually going negative or going the wrong way because, and again, here we see there's more than just us doing something. Here, the other gods or the many other gods of the land that were going on says their drink offering of blood I will not offer nor take up their names to my lips. Do you know how sorrowful that would be if I knew my God, who is the intercessor, Christ, wouldn't pray for me? Think about that. He's working all things to good, right? When in Romans 8, 26 and 20, 24 through following, 26, we don't have the words to utter. The Spirit of God in us prays for us. And do we realize when we take in and bring other gods into the situation, God, Christ can't utter our names? It's no wonder we struggle. It's no wonder we try to pick up and make do with the pieces left. And I tell you what, when I studied through this, there is no way that I ever want my God to say, can't pray for you on this one. Because you're not trusting me. And I tell you, that really hit me because we need to let go, don't we? It's freeing to let go and let God. It really is. Free from the past, free from the struggles, free from worries, free from hurts. It's freeing to simply say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I don't like it, don't want it, kills me, hurts me, but I'm going to trust you in this. And it's amazing what God does as we follow through this. So we want to delight in God. And then verse 5, the Lord is our portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. God, you own it all. God, my cup is going to be full if I trust you more. My joy will remain full. My love for him will remain full. My ministry, my testimony will remain full if I trust him. So this whole prayer and confidence is based on trusting God. So now let's go through some scriptures and see how we know we can trust him. Go to verse 11 of the same chapter. Chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God knows the trail. God knows the path that I am to be on. And because he knows the path, he knows the valleys I'm going to walk in. He knows the potholes I'm going to get stuck in. He knows the decisions I need to make along the way. So I have all confidence in my prayer, letting go, trusting God, because he knows the trail. And that's one of the very first things we see as we go through some of this. It says, thou wilt show me the way. Thou show me the path. And the presence is the fullness of joy. You got to trust him first. When you trust God, you know his presence. When you trust God, you're resting in his presence. Because he knows the way you're walking. He knows everything that you're going to walk through. Everything that's going to hit you on the way. He knows the path. He knows the trail. So that's the first step. From there, go to chapter 50, verse 15. Chapter 50, verse 15. And again, reading through this, pulling some of these scriptures together. Because when you, and again, one of the greatest things you do is just read Psalms. If you're ever wondering what to read, just read the Psalms. When you're through them, go back and read them again because the Psalms are phenomenal because they were the songs, again, that Israel sang going up and coming back from worship. And so they were all songs that were written, and we can compare them to some of the modern-day songs against the hymns. When you've got the contemporary songs against the hymns are what God has done for us. The contemporary songs are what I can do for God. And so you see a great difference. The Psalms are all the things that they can sing about God. So in Psalms 50, verse 15, the verse reads, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He not only knows the trail, but he rescues me on the trail. He rescues me. God will never leave us, never forsake. God is there waiting. Remember, he knows the trail. And I, in my feeble way of thinking, and I got to be visualized here, I see me walking this trail, and about a mile ahead, there's going to be a major struggle in my life. There's going to be a foundational shakeup of my faith. God's already there, standing there waiting for me to fall into it. He knows the trail. He's already there. He's going to rescue me on the trail. I mean, that verse is huge. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Pray out to God. God, I'm stuck here. God, I need you. God, here I am. And I thought it was awesome when Hillary pulled out this morning that in Hagar and Ishmael, he heard the child's prayer. He heard Ishmael's cry. We just think how crazy it is what our children go through right now. Listen, our kids cry out to God, he'll hear them. He'll hear them. Why? Because he is a God. When we call out in trust, will rescue us in the trail. And that is awesome. Because you know what? I don't have to be beside my kids every day. God's going to rescue them. And that's a phrase that I have stated many times to me, myself. As parents with adult children, you got to learn to love them from a distance. You got to let them go. You got to let them go in their struggles. You got to let them go in their face planting smack in the dirt. You got to love them from a distance, because God is going to rescue them on the trail. He's not just going to rescue. He's going to rescue everybody on the trail. And that allows me to go back in praying confidence and trust him, because he knows the trail. He's going to rescue me on the trail. Interesting enough, there's three phases of this verse 15. When I call upon him in a time of trouble, I will deliver. That's a promise of God. Now again, you've got to go back. God, I got to trust you. You've got to give up. You've got to give God the trust, because that's when God said, okay, I'll step in and deliver you. I'll step in and rescue you. But as long as you keep going on your own, as long as you keep bringing in that little G God, as long as you keep figuring it out, I can't rescue you. And I try to get it fixed in my mind that the moment I try to fix it, God will step aside, only because he wants to, not because he has to. He will step aside because he cannot fix things, because my mind says I'm fixing it. And if God fixes it and my mind says I did it, guess what? God don't get to glorified, because that's the last phase of the verse. When God delivers, and thou shalt glorify me. God wants us to fall into them pitfalls because he's there waiting for us. And when he rescues us up from them, praise God. We glorify him. You see, it's interesting why God would allow us to fall into some of this stuff, because he wants us to glorify him. It's not to hurt us. It's not for us to blow bubbles and swim and wonder what God's all about. God says, listen, I know the path. I know the trail. I'll rescue you in the trail if you trust me, because I want to be glorified, not you. I want to be glorified. So don't get in the way. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to plan all these how-tos. God says, call upon me in trust and watch what I will do. His promise says, I will deliver you. Now, that delivery looks different, right? You know, how I want to be delivered, totally different than how God wants to deliver me. Because in my mindset, you know, you lose your job. Well, okay, God, I need to pay the bills. I would love for a check, big check to come in the mail. Some long lost somebody who passed away and remembered me. I don't know. Some big check come in the mail. All my life, when I prayed to God, God, I need more money. You know what he did? Gave me another job. It's like, come on, God, just give me the money. I don't want the job. I was always having another side job, a painting job or some landscaping or cutting grass or doing something. And every time I really, God, I don't have it. Phone would ring. Hey, I need somebody to paint for a couple days. You want to do it? Okay. Never got the check in the mail, but I got paid. So that's the important thing. How God delivers is not up to you and I. Remember, we're trusting God, right? And if God's going to deliver us, he's going to deliver us how he wants to deliver us. And when he delivers us, what do? Oh, God, seriously? Another job? Why don't you just send me money? Did that glorify God? No, because at that moment I acted like a spoiled brat, a spoiled child. When God hears your prayer and delivers you and rescues you on the trail, you praise God. No matter how he delivered you, you praise him. And so, interesting enough, but from there, we know we can be rescued on the trail. Go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Psalms 107 is quite interesting because here we find that on this trail, there's in this whole chapter, we won't have time to go through the whole chapter, but this whole chapter is important because there's four different groups that are in trouble here. And in these four groups that are in trouble, verse 4 says there's a wandering traveler. Verse 10, those who sat in darkness or in prison. Verse 17, the people that are sick. Verse 23, people that are on the ships are in storm. So there's four different groups of people that are in trouble in this chapter. So I encourage you to go home and study through the chapter. It's an awesome chapter to read. But the key part of this is the very beginning of it because it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercies endureth forever." Back to, you know, Steve Green. Steve Green sang a song like this. It was the exact same song. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You see, on our path, on our trail, God knows. He rescues us. It's not only life circumstance he rescues us from. It's from the other people too. There's two things in that verse. One, when he says, "Let the redeemed," that's those in saving grace. Let the redeemed, let those Christ followers simply say what? Of the Lord, say, so, say what? The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And that's why I always say, Lamentations 3:22. We are not consumed because of the mercy of God. And it is fresh every morning. So while I'm walking on my journey, while I'm walking on my trail, while I'm walking on my path, God knows the path. God's going to rescue me in it. And as we see that, his mercy is going to endure for how long? Forever. Every day that I'm walking my path, he's going to look at and he's going to say, "Listen, I'm going to redeem you not only from the circumstances of life, but I'm going to redeem you from the people in your life. The people in your life that continually want to knock you off the path. Knock you off the faith, trust path." And listen, we've experienced maybe some of that, a little bit of that. But I truly believe that our world's going to go in a direction that we're going to experience a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to try to knock us off of the faith path. Who are going to try to take us away from what God has for us. So we have a promise. And in that promise that we're going to be able to say, giving thanks to God because his mercies are what's going to get us through that moment. Get us beyond that person. And notice in there, it doesn't say anything about us doing any of this. God's the one in verse 2 who is going to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. And that enemy is different in your life. It's different in my life. Sometimes that enemy that he's going to redeem us from, he's going to redeem us from ourselves because we are our worst enemies. How we think, how the emotions take over, how things begin to steer us in directions we shouldn't go. God says, "Listen, I'll redeem you from that enemy, but you got to trust me. You got to trust me." And so from there, one more verse, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Looking at verse 68. 68. When we're on this journey, when we're on this path, this verse sort of puts it into perspective. And it says in 119:68, "Thou art good and dost good, teach me thy statutes." When we see that concept, "teach me thy statutes," what it is, "teach me the law." God, teach me your ways. Because you know what the bottom line is? When you and I trust him, we get to know him more. And at this point in the psalmist writing 119 simply says, God, you are good. I'm remembering back. I'm putting my trust in you. I know you know my journey. I know you know the path. You've rescued me on this path many times. You've taken away the enemies from this path. God, you are good. Teach me more. Give me more. Give me more of who you are. And I'll tell you, when you get to that point, that's exciting. When you get a love and desire to know more of God because you're trusting him more, you know what God's going to do? He's going to open up. He's going to give you more. He's going to allow you to see him and know him in ways you never would before. Because you're going to remember back on the days that you begin to trust him more and more. So it goes hand in hand. God says, here I am. I've given you all the ability at salvation to know who I am. Now, how this relationship works is you trust me. I'll do all the work. I'll help you through your journey. I'll help you in your path. I'll rescue in your path. Take care of the enemies in your path. And all you need to do is say, God, I want more. God, give me more of that. I want to know you more. And I'd be careful when I say this, but we know God by knowing who he is. But we truly know God by experiencing who he is. And I'm not all about the warm and fuzzies. I'm not saying that. But when my God says, I'll rescue you on your path. Has God done that for you anytime in your life? Absolutely. You've experienced that truth. You can go back in a point in time when you were at the bottom of the bottom. God lifted you up, carried you up, got you to the other side. You look back and think, wow, God is great. That's the experiencing of God. And if you've experienced God's goodness, according to this verse 68, teach me. Teach me more. I'm gonna tell you, you got that longing, you got that desire to know more of God. It all starts with what? Trusting him. You're not gonna know more about God, you're not gonna experience God's goodness if you don't trust him. Because he will step out of the way and allow you to do whatever you want to choose to do. God's not gonna stand there and whip you into shape. He's gonna love you into shape, but he's not gonna whip you into shape. And so we have choices to make every day. And you heard me say many times, and again, Psalm 3:5 says that God sustains me as I sleep. We wake up, it's God's choice. Every minute from that wake up, you make choices along your trail with confidence, knowing that God knows your trail. He's going to rescue you on the trail. He's going to take care of the enemies on your trail. And when you desire more, you know what? He's going to give you more. Not that he's giving you more of him, but he's going to teach you more. He's going to allow the windows of your mind to open up, and you're going to see God in ways that you've never seen him before. That's the confidence. That's the hope to know that, yeah, life hurts. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But God is good, and his goodness, his loving kindness endureth, his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed say so. And so that's the testimony. That's something we need to get out there in our world, because they're looking for all this. They're looking for that message. They're looking for that hope that God can give them. Any questions, comments, or anything? Anybody want to say any, add anything to that? Yes. That's what some of the technology has taken away from us. Some of those precious notes passed back and forth that we look back to. And that's a gold nugget that God gave you. You can always look back to it. And that's how true it is. Trust him. Just trust him. And it's amazing what he'll carry you through and what he'll allow you to experience in today because of that. I mean, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Anyone else have any comments, questions? I hope that we're on a journey, aren't we? We're on a path. We're all on a trail. And to have those three verses, and hopefully you highlight them and just ponder through them. Read through those. And again, that chapter 107, just read through that whole chapter and see how God helped those four different groups of people. It's an awesome experience. But no questions or comments, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Because it's Mother's Day, you're died early. I'll make up for it next week. Anyway, let's pray. God, we just thank you again for this time together. And Lord, how true it is that we know we have faith. We claim we have faith, but it is hard to trust. Because when we trust, we have to let go of control. And God, that's difficult in the day and age in which we live, when we have a hard time trusting anyone. Lord, we can trust you. And God, I pray that through the study tonight that we become more free in the struggles. We become more free in what may come in this week ahead. Because we're going to trust you in confidence. Go back to the psalmist and see the prayer and knowing that as we trust you, then God, you will do some amazing things. Father, we just uplift it to you. We thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.